Amen. It's so good to see you this morning. Just so thankful that each of you are here. I know there's several that are out, and there's a lot going on in the church, a lot of different things that are going on, and a lot to be in prayer for. But at the same time, there's so much to be thankful for as well. I'm glad to be saved this morning, and glad to know where I'm going. I'm glad to know that we have that hope even in the hardest of times. And sometimes you look around and you think, gosh, there's not really much to be happy about. Maybe not some things to be thankful for. But there's something that I guess I kind of knew this all along. But Brother Tim mentioned Wednesday night. I tell you, that was a special service. And if you're here this morning and you're saved and you're in need of a smile or in need of something to remind you to be thankful for, share your testimony with somebody. Share your testimony with somebody. And the reason I say that, as I look back, I think everybody that shared their testimony had a twinkle in their eye and a smile on their face. And I love it. I love seeing that. I love seeing it. It never gets old, hearing somebody's testimony and learning and seeing how they came to know the Lord. I tell you, that never gets old. That's the sweetest thing you can share with somebody. And there's just so much to be in prayer for. The passing of Sister Catherine, let's keep that family in our prayers. Miss Betty and her sickness, let's remember her. Hopefully, Lord willing, maybe she'll get to come home today. Also, Brother Jim, Sister Glenda, let's remember them. And then also thinking about Brother Robert and Sister Mildred, and thinking about Sandra and Janet. There's just a lot to be in prayer for. But I want you to know, in the midst of all these things, God is still good. He's good. He's good, and He's so good to us. Really want to focus on that this morning. Just been kind of looking at things. I know this is what we call Thanksgiving weekend, and that can mean a lot of different things to a lot of people. But I think it should mean something similar to those who are belong to the Lord. We belong to Him. If you will, let's turn to Psalm chapter number 100. Psalm 100, and this is a psalm of praise. When I think about Thanksgiving, I think about praise. I think about happiness. I think about what I have in my heart. I try not to let circumstances dictate my happiness. Circumstances can rob us of a lot of things, and a lot of times circumstances is something that we can't control at all. But I believe the child of God should always have a way of happiness in our heart, just in remembering what the Lord has done for us. And I think about the songs we sing today. And I love the red hymnal. I love the songs we sing and in the binders there, those songs that we've picked up along the way. But you know, I got to thinking about it. I was talking with Brandy. I said, you know, the songs we sing today would probably be very contemporary to what they sang then when the Bible was being written. You know, as times change and things go on, our Lord doesn't change. And you say, well, what would they have sang? What would they have sang in the Old Testament? What would they have sang in Bible times? And I said, the book of Psalms. That's what it is. You think about that. It's a psalm book that's put here in our Bibles for us to look at. Psalm 100, this is probably pretty familiar to a lot of people, but it really has been speaking volumes to me and thinking about everything that's going on. Sometimes it's hard to make a joyful noise. It is. Again, you think about circumstances. But you know, I thought about it like this, church. I want to open it like this. We think sometimes, and we say to ourselves, the Lord made it plain yesterday. He made it clear. You know, well, it's hard for me to do this. It's hard for me to do that. I'm shy. It's hard for me to say something. It's hard for me to sing. It's hard for me to do this or that. But I want to share something with you this morning. The cross wasn't easy. Think about that. Think about what Jesus Christ did for us. That wasn't easy. He did the hardest thing because He loves us that much. You look at Psalm 100 and verse number 1, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. That's everybody. That's all of us. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Let's pray. Father, we come to You this morning, God, just so thankful that You're with us, thankful that Your presence is with us, God, and we never want to take that for granted. We do not want to take our time, our health, the energy, God, that is given to us at any given time. We don't want to take that for granted, God, but we want to use it for Your glory and for Your honor. God, we want to be guided by You and be the servants that You want us to be. God, we want to do what's pleasing to You and be a service to others, our brothers and sisters around us. As situations and circumstances happen, God, we want to be a blessing to them and a help to them the way that You've called us to be. We have a great need in our church, Lord. So much need, God. So many that are sick. Our families are hurting. Those that have passed away, God, just hard things, God. But You know, I'm so thankful that You made a way of salvation, that we could have eternal life with You. And those of us that remain, either if we go by way of the grave or by way of the rapture, we have that promise to go back with You, God. And I just thank You so much for that. Even in the hardest of times, we have a reason. We have a reason to give praise. And I thank You for that, God. And I know the most important need here today are those that are lost with us, God. We see that. We recognize it, Lord. And we pray for them this morning, God, that they would see their need of salvation. And Lord, as we also pray for those that are facing such hard times. But God, today is about praising You because You're worthy, God. All that You've always done for me, ever done for me, all that You're going to do for me, all that You've done for those here in the church, God, all that You've ever done and all that You're going to do, God, we just praise You for that today, God. We pray that we be able, I pray that we be able to set aside some things long enough, God, just to reflect on You and thank You for what You've done for us, God, and continue to do for us. God, I pray that You set the order of the service, the message, that it be pleasing to You, God. Just have Your way in all that's said and done. And ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I always try to find the right way to open a service. I told Brandy, I said, how you open a lesson, a service, what have you, often kind of dictates how it ends up, and starting it the right way. And I've been praying about that, you know, because just really want to be in the Lord's will, just it to be what He'd have it to be. Don't try to keep up with time. I don't try to keep up with what we always do kind of thing. I just want the Lord to do what He wants to. What I've found is when we're taking out of the norm, a lot of times that's when He does something special, and I love that. Again, Wednesday night, just an amazing time and a good time of reflection, and the Spirit was all in it. And I thank the Lord for that. And I was thinking about Thanksgiving this week. No surprise, I know that. And if I ask you what Thanksgiving means to you, there's probably going to be several different ideas, several different things that come to your mind. If I ask you right now, when you think of Thanksgiving, what do you see? What do you think about? You know, and I asked myself that. And I was picking around with Brandy on Thursday night for CFC. We were talking about the topic of thankfulness. I said, is it all right if we go and get some of those little grocery bags, and then we can get those things together like we did when we was in school and make those little Indian vests? That was one of my favorite things to do. I tell you, I love that. I could wear one back then. I know. I thought about that. I was like, man, I don't know if they have a senior section for grocery bags anymore. But I tell you, I love that. I was always an Indian. I did that. I can't remember exactly what the pilgrims got to do, but I loved cutting that bag and making that and putting the frills on it and all that. I know that might seem offensive to somebody, but I don't mean it offensive. It's part of history. It's just how it happened, right? And I think about it like that, and I also think about the pumpkin pie. And I, you know, I'm thankful for my friends that don't like pumpkin pie, because I do. And my friends in school, a lot of times, you want my pie? Well, I guess. If you don't want it, you don't want to waste it. Whipped cream on it, you know, praise the Lord, yeah, I'll take that. You know, and I think about it, again, reflect, and got to talk to some college students about it some time back, a year or so ago, and they had a different view to it, but we talked about it a little bit further. But I said, now listen, now you think about what it means. It wasn't about being different. It was about coming together regardless of who you were. I look back on that time. Brother Curtis mentioned the time, the date, and what have you that had happened. But I think about how people coming together, sharing things together. And, you know, when you come together to eat, it's kind of hard to be mad at one another. I'm not saying it can't be that way. But usually when you come together, hey, let's sit down and talk. Let's sit down and eat. And, you know, as you set everything down and you pick up a fork and a spoon, that means, you know what? There's no weapons in your hand. It's a time of fellowship. It's a time to talk. You bring something, I bring something. They brought things together, and it was to show each other that they had fellowship and that they were thankful. Think about this. We see in remembrance of me, this you do in remembrance of me. You think about what the Lord's Supper is. It was a time of coming together for fellowship of believers. A lot of things are mentioned in the Bible about coming together for fellowship, and I think about that at Thanksgiving. When we get together as a family, we go around the room and we talk to one another and ask each other, what are you thankful for this year? And that's always a special and a solemn time. And you know, I know this also, it's also a hard time sometimes because the people that were saying what they were thankful for last year aren't with us this year. I know as we get older, and I've learned this, you grow a greater appreciation for things sometimes. As a child, sometimes we don't see it, but you know also some children have had very hard times too. So I'm not discounting that. But growing up and being blessed and what have you with life, and you just kind of take things for granted growing up, and as you get older, you realize some of those people aren't with you. You know, and that's kind of touches the heart, works on the heart. But you see, that also speaks to how important the gospel is and sharing the gospel with other people. I tell you this, one of the most important things you could share around this time of year, any time of the year, is your testimony with somebody. If you do get together with family, let them know. Tell them about the day you got saved, especially those that may not know the Lord. Let them hear it. Let them know, and let them know you're not ashamed of it. It's not something to be bashful for. We didn't do it. God did it. But it's the best gift you could share with anybody. Say, this is what I got, and this is who I got it from. You need to know him and share it with them. But as you see this come together, I'll get on the message this morning, just trusting the Lord with it. Trust that he give the order of it. I was out yesterday blowing leaves most of the day, and it's a great day to do that. And yeah, I got to reflect on this a good part of the day, and these verses just came to mind. And it always says here, you see this, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. We've heard that I don't know how many times. You hear that, but it says, all ye lands, we all. That means everybody should have something to be thankful for. Everybody should have something, even though their circumstances on the outside might be very hard or maybe very grim. But if you're saved, you should have, and you do have something on the inside to be thankful for. The Spirit of the Holy Ghost living in your heart and being able to help you. And I see a few things here. I see about three things that jump out in my mind. Number one, serve. Number two, sing. And then it gets down and it says sheep. We are the sheep of his pasture. There's a few S's there, and I thought that lined up pretty good, and I thought I'd use that this morning. But when you look at verse number two, it says, serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. And if you read it fast, you'll pass that part up about serving. And I'm thinking about my interpretation of that first Thanksgiving when people brought something to the table. They brought something to serve to somebody else. Everybody here has something to serve or something to bring to the table in church. Everybody has something. I think we can overlook service a lot of times in thinking if I don't have a certain position or title, that I'm not here to serve. I'm here to observe. And I want you to know, as far as a congregation goes, there's no observers, or there shouldn't be. There is always a place for us to serve, and I believe that with all of my heart. The older I get, the more important I see that, and looking at serve, that's doing something at the command of another. And in the Bible, it's full of service. So I want to do something for the Lord, but I don't know what to do. I don't know what He wants me to do. Have you asked Him? If you ask the Lord, if you've accepted Him and you ask the Lord to show you what He would have you to do, I promise you He'll do that. And it'll be fulfilling to you because it's the service that He has for you. And it says to serve, and it says serve the Lord with gladness. And you know, there is a lot of fulfillment in serving others. This week, we've had several in the hospital, different things going on. And I know with time restraints and things, it's easy to think, well, I don't have time and all this. If you make time to serve the Lord, it will be rewarding to you. I promise you that. I thought about it like this. Some people's like, well, I don't know what to say. There's a lot of times, believe it or not, I don't know what to say. Sometimes there is nothing you can say. You can just be there for somebody. It's like that sometimes, Brother Tim. You've been there. Others, you've been there, and you know that. Sometimes it's just being there. And I think about in serving, what can I do? What can I do? How can I serve? We were talking about this in our Sunday school class this morning, the importance. I think one of the biggest things, I'm just going to say it like this, one of the biggest things I've seen in ministry that I've been a part of, one of the biggest concerns that has been brought up is, guess what? Visitation. You know that? Visitation. Taking care of people or visiting with people. And you know, you might say, well, I don't know what to say. Some people might say, well, guess what? I'm not the preacher. I'm not the preacher. And some might say, well, I'm not a deacon, so therefore I'm here to observe. No, everybody here has a service. I explained it like this to our Sunday school class, and this is the way the Lord gave it to me. You know, as a parent, as a father, I would say Josh would expect me to be one to say something to him, okay? If he needed something, or if, let's say he was out of church or something like that, he would probably be expecting me to say something. Who else would he expect? He'd expect Brandy to be saying something. I know I've missed. Mom's going to say something. Dad's going to say something. But, you know, he doesn't have a sibling. But I'll tell you what, that's a special relationship when a brother or sister reaches out to a brother or sister also. You know, I think that's something else. When you have somebody reach out, and the reason I say it like that is we're all brothers and sisters here. You know, and if one of our younger people reaches out to one of our older people and say, hey, you know, I hadn't seen you in a while, or I miss you, you know how much of a blessing that would be? I dare say that'd be a bigger blessing than even the preacher reaching out. And I'm not saying I'm not going to and trying to pass that off, because there's a blessing in it, and I intend on doing it. I'm just saying service. You say, why would you bring that up? Because I think that's one of the most needed things. I think sometimes people feel maybe the others don't care about you or something like that, but I do, and the church does. And you can't assume that people know that. I tell you, you have to reach out and do it, and there's a joy in that. I want to see our church as strong as it can be. And you know what I get a blessing out of? The other night, Wednesday night, when the one that you don't expect anybody to say something or do something, and when they're one of the first ones to do it, you're like, well, praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, Brother Justin, who comes and visits with us on Wednesday night, he was one of the first ones to give his testimony. You know how that blessed my heart? Praise the Lord. It'd be easy as one not to, maybe a member, and maybe not come all the time, be a little bit more shy, but he just outgave his testimony. When blessings come from unexpected places, a lot of times it's a bigger blessing. And you know where it came from. You know it come from the Lord. And I tell you, when you look at service, that's one of the first things that's mentioned here, is our willingness to serve. And it says to serve with gladness. Not try to look at it as something that's hard, a hardship to do, or something that's grievous to do, but serve the Lord with gladness. You're willing and wanting to do something for Him. And I tell you, that's one of the first things that it says, somebody willing to serve here in the Bible. And I thank God for that. I think it's important. A lot of times if I go and visit with somebody as I'm leaving and trying to maybe pray for them, you know, I think, man, you know what? They were a bigger blessing to me than I was to them. Many times that's happened. But it's an important service that we need to do. You think about what we do in church. You say, well, sometimes we say, well, I do this in the church. I do this here. I sing in the choir, or I teach, or what I do in the church is my service. This is a place of worship. The actual work takes place out there. You know, this ain't the work. This is what we do to come together to worship. The work is out there. Sharing it, showing it, living it. That's the service part of it. Not just what we do here. There's the whole aspect of we have to go out and compel them to come in. That's on the outside. Being here is so important. We've been talking a lot about that in our Sunday school. Being here is important, but what we do here with our time is that much more important. And I'll say this right here. I tell you, go ahead and find you a songbook. See if you can find you the red hymnal. If you got one, maybe there's there. And if not, you probably know this one all together. You know what it says? Number one, it says to serve. Then what else does it say to do? Sing. It says to sing, doesn't it? Second part of this right here, it says come before his presence with singing. Well, that's why we have a choir, right? It doesn't say choir come together. It says come together and sing. It doesn't say who, does it? You say, well, I can't sing. The Lord will be the judge of that. It's not for me to judge. That's for him to judge. If you will, stand with me. Let's turn to 120. I need your help this morning. If you can't stand, that's fine. If you need to sit, you can. That's fine. But it says, come before his presence with singing. And he says it like a command. You know, the first time I sung this in church, I tried to sing it by myself because the Lord told me to. Yesterday, I was getting ready. He said, you're getting ready to sing again. I said, can I have some help? He said, that's up to you, but you're going to. Well, so I'm going to ask for some help. Last time I got to sing this, I had a group of young people with me. That was a blessing. Now I got a group of everybody with me. That's a blessing too. Now, but just sing it to the Lord. We're not singing for each other. We're singing for him. We're talking about worship this morning. You think about what he's done. I know we have the hardships and things on our heart, but I tell you, sing it to the Lord this morning. You look at this, 120. You guys got your place? Somebody probably got it memorized, but let's sing here. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary, to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved love me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You can be seated. Yes. Come on, brother. Yes. Brother John, you don't know how long I've been wanting you to do that. No, brother. Yes. Yeah. Amen. 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 Taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Amen, amen. 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 That's right. Years, bright shining as the sun. Less days to sing God's praise than win. Amen. Praise the Lord. Appreciate that, Brother John. Bless your heart. Amen. I love you, brother. Amen. Amen. I appreciate that. This was a prerequisite for caroling, by the way. Nobody can say, well, I don't know. Yeah, you do. I saw you. Everybody here saw you too. Everybody here saw you too. Praise the Lord. Does anybody else have anything? Does anybody else have anything this morning? Amen. I appreciate that, Brother John. Amen. Amen. I appreciate you singing along with me this morning. And I want to say this, and I want us to know when we do go caroling, I wanted to mention that's for everybody. It's not for the young people, the older people. It's for all people. See, we've got about six places that we want to go. And what I'd like to do is, it's just another Wednesday night service as far as I'm concerned. Everybody's supposed to be here. Everybody's supposed to be here. And if we could get everybody here, we'd like to divide up into two different teams, and then one go to three houses and the other go to the other three houses. And it's just the service. You think about the people that can't be here. We're supposed to go to them. I know as much as they would enjoy seeing the deacons, the preacher, what have you, I get that. But they want to see you too. I promise you. They will not be sad to see your smiling faces and your kids' smiling faces. I promise you that. I promise you that. But we'll carry on this morning. If that is all, I just wanted to do what the Lord told me to do this morning. He commanded for us to sing. That's the way it's written here, for us to sing. Now, you look at verse number 3, it goes on. See, it kind of gets sweeter as it goes. And it says here, "Know ye that the Lord is God." Now, we know the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what the Jewish people of that time had a very hard time with. They had a hard time, and I know this is Old Testament, but as it rolled around into the New Testament, this is what they had a hard time with. Understanding and knowing that Jesus, the Lord, is God. And I tell you, that is a word or a need, a cause of praise this morning. Just knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ is God. He's the one that created everything. He came down in the flesh to be the sacrifice for us because we couldn't do it in and of ourselves. And he loved us that much to be able to do that and wanted to do that for us. And that's what he's expounding here. Know ye the Lord, he is God, and it is he that hath made us. See, we are made in his image. We were made for him. We're made to be like him. That's what he wants. He wants us to do the things that he wants us to do. He wants to fulfill those things in our life. If you want to have a fulfilling life, surrender to him early. Surrender to him now. One of the things we told our students on Thursday night is the hope and the goal is to get to people as soon as we can, to reach out to them and say, hey, now is the time to change your life. You can miss a lot of hardship that is brought on by being disobedient or trying to be somewhat rebellious or what have you and not being willing to do what he wants you to do. The sooner you come to that, the sooner you can have internal happiness. And I mean that. We're going to have hard external circumstances. Everybody here will. But if you want peace on the inside, that only comes from him. You can't get it in a pill. You can't get it in self-help. All those kind of things. See, we're his. I want you to see this right here. And you say, well, you're being awful, you know, dogmatic about things. I want you to know, in this life, there's going to be things that happen. And you can take things or do things that kind of mask the symptoms. That doesn't solve the problem. If you really want to get to the heart of the problem is our hearts. So that's what Jesus came to save. Where does he enter in? Into the heart of man. That's the soul. That's where he comes in to dwell with us because he knows that is where the problem is. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. You know what that tells me, Brother Ben? That we can't do it in and of ourselves. You know, I'm telling you, I'm thankful for good doctors. I'm thankful for good writers. I'm thankful for good pharmacists. But there's things in our life that only God can handle. Anybody here dispute that? I mean, I know people who try to mask things, alcohol, drugs, what have you. That doesn't fix the problem. That causes problems. You really want to get down to the heart of the matter, you let the Lord take it. And he can do something with it. And I'm not telling you it's easy. I've been through a few things that's been hard to navigate through and things like that. And I know you have too. And I'm not here to say that it's easy. But if you have the Lord in your heart, he will do it right. He won't mess it up. It is he that has made us and not we of ourselves. We can't make things ourselves. We, as much as we try and as much as we want to think, it's the power of the mind. No, it's the power of the Spirit. If you want to be guided, if you want to have that help, you think about Paul and how he was secured in the Spirit. He was purposed in the Spirit. That's what he was going to follow. Not his own thoughts and his own ideas. Not we ourselves, but of the Spirit. And it goes on to say, we are his people. You ever just think about that? Now this is where the thankfulness should really come in. You know, I heard Brother Norman say this morning in prayer room. And it's true. This is the best nation. I believe with all my heart, this is the best nation on the planet. I believe that. Would you want to live anywhere else? Is our nation perfect? It's not, is it? I'm thankful this morning to say, even though I'm thankful and proud to be an American, probably more so at one point in time than another as you see things unfold, but aren't you thankful to be one of God's? Think about the land of heaven. If you're saved this morning, that's where you belong. That's the nationality that you belong to, that because we've been grafted in, we've been adopted into that family. That's something I can grab a hold of. That's something I can get excited about. And you look and you see, we think about, well, you know, as you get older, you might have your retirement, Social Security, going to be taken care of. Did you know, as you see things happen, these things start wavering a whole lot? It might be there and it might not be there. You don't know what people are going to do next. There is such a political battle always going on that one side is going to try to outdo the other side to the point that whoever's in between is probably going to be the one who suffers. A lot of these people already made their money. They can step out anytime they want to. They got their money. But what about the people that they were there to serve? Well, they don't care about us. I'm going to be honest with you. Well, that's sad, isn't it? You're saying we don't have a whole lot of hope in the world and in this country? No, we don't. I want to tell you the truth. We don't. But look what this says right here. What does it say? It goes on to say, it is He that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. You know, sheep, you and I, He's not asking us for our opinions. He's not asking us what we think He should do. He doesn't gather us up together as a group and say, now you guys, you get together. Now, what do you think I should do? And fill our heads with lies and promises and stuff like that. Guess what? We are sheep. We're needy. Sheep are needy. Sheep rely on a shepherd constantly. They can't do anything by themselves. I've heard people teach on it, preach on it. As sheep, we just end up in the ditch all the time. That's about all we're good for. When you see this right here, we are sheep in His pasture. You know what His pasture looks like? Everything that you and I need are in His pasture. Everything. You know, it's not us. We think, well, we're doing good, and maybe monetarily we think about that sometimes. You know, maybe got the money that we need to take care of this or take care of that. But you know, there's going to come a time in our lives as we get older, we face things health-wise. Money can't fix some of those things. You know that? Even if it's money. Promises from the government can't fix these things. See, the government is what? Just a bunch of people that we voted in. They're people just like you and me. What can they promise us that we can't promise them? Think about that. They're people just like us. When you look at God, our Lord, He is God who created heaven, who created the earth, everything in it, and the fullness thereof is whose? His. Think about who we serve this morning, the importance of serving Him. You know, we can get locked into things and think about work and stuff like that. If you ever start working for the Lord, He will take care of all these details that you're worried about. And I'm telling you that affirmatively. I'm not just filling your mind full of something fanciful. I'm telling you the truth this morning. It's His pasture that we're in. We're His people. We're His sheep in His pasture. And I tell you, I'm thankful for that this morning. Thankful that I don't have to depend on another man in that way, that I can depend on God Himself. You know how thankful that should make us be? And guess what? He made it that way. He made it for us to be that way. And it says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. You know, every time we come to church, we need to not have it in our minds that we're here necessarily doing a service, or we're here fulfilling a service to check a box. We should have in our minds we're here to worship the One who made this possible. I couldn't wait to get here this morning. I didn't know how things were going to be. I didn't know how things were going to work out, but I was like, Lord, here's the thing. I'm not worried about it. I came here with one thing in mind this morning. Lord, just to praise You. Lord, just to thank You for all that You've done for me. And when I tell you, when you come here with that in your mind, it changes everything. Brother John, I wasn't worried about details. Wasn't worried about who was going to do what. I knew God was going to do what He wanted. Now, here's the thing. I want you to understand this. We can get so locked into praying for God's will that we sit there and we do nothing. Now, let me tell you something. God isn't praising himself. That's what you and I are supposed to do. We're supposed to praise him. Say, well, is he worthy? Who else is? Think about what the Lord's done for us. Gone to the cross. Did everything. Made everything a way for us. And why? Why? How could we miss that? I can't help but praise his name. It says, enter to the gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, and be thankful unto him, and bless his name. Psalm 103:1, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. When is the last time you had a time like that? Just thanking him. Getting off to yourself and just thanking God for what he's done for you. When's the last time? I tell you, it was like that for me yesterday, blowing leaves. I had a big time. Had time to think. The nice sunshine, the fresh air to be out. I tell you, I was thankful for that. And you know what was on my heart and my mind? Those who weren't able to do that. Praying for them. Thinking about them. I tell you, this thing about service comes around full circle. We need to be thankful for what we have in this moment, that things are as good as they are right now for us. And then be good to other people. See, here's the thing. Maybe it was CFC the other night, I'm trying to remember, but we were talking, and I was thinking about, you know, what we work for, what we spend so much time doing. You get locked into a cycle if you're not careful as a young person. They taught a lot about this in law enforcement. You had people who kind of liked their job or didn't, and their job was so stressful, so they had to do something. They felt in their mind they had to do something to make this life worth it because they were so stressed. And so what they would do, a lot of times officers would take extra duty. They'd work extra duty, make extra money. So they could do what? Be a blessing to other people. No. To get other things. I'm going to get me a boat. I've got such a hard job and a stressful life. I'm going to get me a boat. And if I work that extra duty, I can have me a boat. Praise the Lord. Now guess what? You're working to pay for that boat. You can't be on the lake. Because you're trying to pay that thing off. You see how that cycle is? It's unfulfilling. It's not what God intended for us to have. And guess what? You can't take that boat with you. I'm not just getting on the boats. There's campers, motorcycles, guns. There's all kinds of stuff. All kinds of things. You cannot take that to heaven with you. That's not eternal fulfillment. That's temporal, and it's a trap. It's to get you locked in. And you think, oh, in that minute, man, Brother Finley, this is fun. But you know, heaven is coming. I'll tell you what. Two things, primarily one thing you can take with you. Number one, you've got to accept the Lord if you're going to go to heaven. Did you know you could lead somebody else to Christ and you can take them with you? And I know it's not us to do. It's not our work. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the work of the Lord. But if you want to get into collecting, I'll do this, collecting something, let it be people and leading people to the Lord. Because you think about this, spending eternity in heaven with somebody, and that somebody saying, you know, I didn't hear anything about the gospel till you come along and told me, thank you. Now that's something, that's rewarding. That's worth spending your time doing. That's worth spending your time in the Word of God and studying. You know, that's worth spending your time praising him while we're here. The Lord really laid it on my heart this week. What we do here as coming to church is not service. Did you know that? If you think coming to church and that's all that you do is a service to the Lord, that's really not serving at all. This is when we come together to worship. And let me tell you this, this is what's interesting. We call this a what? A service. A church service. That's what we call it. Services. That's what we call it. The service is what we do out there as a church. I couldn't be more settled on this in my heart. You know, I love coming here. This is where we get to energize our batteries. This is where we get to have a good time in the Lord. But then we're supposed to take that out there to other people. I tell you what, I get excited thinking about what the Lord's doing in our church. I'm so thankful for the moving that he is doing. I know we can't do anything in and of ourselves, but I'm thankful for what he's doing, and I pray that we just continue to do the work of the Lord the way he wants it to be done. I'm not trying to model myself after somebody else. I'm not trying to model our church after some other church. The Lord has a work for Mount Lebanon that he wants us to do. And the only thing we need to model ourselves after is his word and him. That's it. That's it. And if the Lord's happy, we'll be happy. We work for Him this morning. If you will, stand with me this morning. I invite the ladies to come to the instruments. Lord, I come to You this morning, God, again thanking You for Your word, thanking You for Your leadership. God, just I thank You for all the instruction that You give to us, God, and I ask for forgiveness this morning for failing to worship You as I should for whatever reason, God. And Lord, I just want You to be the Lord of my life. Lord, I want You to be number one, God. I want You to be number one in our church. Lord God, that You can do the works that You want to do through our church, God. There are so many people that need to hear the gospel, so many young families that need guidance and help. There's so many people in the church that need assistance, God, whether it be just a visit, a phone call, a card, whatever that might be, God. It's important that we do these things together, work together to take care of each other, God. That's the commandment that You've given to us, that we love one another as You have loved us, God. And I pray that You help us to see that, never lose sight of it. God, I pray for unity. I pray for the Spirit to always abound, Lord, as we come together to meet, God, that we'd have times of worship, times of study. God, it would help us to grow, help us to be stronger. God, that people would be saved. God, I pray for salvation above all things. God, that's the most important thing, that people come to know You as their Savior, God. And I pray for that this morning. Anyone here that's lost, God, I pray You touch their hearts, God. I pray You be with them, Lord, and help them to see that need this morning, God. Go with us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.